You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you guys get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you'll find links to not only this show, but our other shows like MF Uncensored and the Multiverse Fancast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me in the studio is a stranger, somebody who has not ever been on the show, or at least not for quite some time, and that is Cian? Cian?
So it's tough to pronounce. It's Sean.
It's Sean. There's no Sean. H in it, though.
No, there's no
weird.
H in it. There can be.
Only
that's
if you
believe. That's just the weak way to spell it.
It's the weak way.
It's the weak way. That's the Hooked on Phonics way to
wow, what
to
a throwback. Hooked on Phonics. But yes, Sean is back.
It's good to be back. Yeah, 5 minutes here and Paul already hates me. So it's just like I never left.
That was 10 minutes before you got here, really.
I know. You were just like, why is he still doing this with me?
God, I could be napping right now.
It's so true.
It is so true. I have the house to myself, too, for the next 2 hours.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I could leave right now if you want your alone time.
I could nap twice, if you know what I mean. But anyway.
I gotcha.
No, we are excited because I think this is the last episode of the Halloween season.
I feel bad because did we... I mean, I know... And thank you to Brendan, our good friend Brendan, Blind Bat. Can you help me with
8719.
8719 for filling in for me last week. And you guys did Hocus Pocus 2, which I still have not watched.
Which Brendan watched to do just the episode. Just to do the episode.
Good man.
Oh, my God.
Good
what a guy.
Man. Thank you again, Brendan. I really do appreciate it.
Not all
Yeah, days. I've been out for the count for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, you suck.
I do. I went to Disney.
Yeah, that was Disney.
It was good until I caught COVID.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Yeah, I thought they didn't have that in Florida.
Oh, it's not believed to be in Florida, but I wasn't in Florida. I was in Disney.
Oh, it's totally different.
Totally different.
They're their own
police. Once you enter the happiest place on earth, you're not in Florida.
Now, is COVID happier in Disney? Or?
It walks around with the mouse ears. So
I figured.
It's got a little bit, yeah. No masks.
No masks. Oh, that's why. That explains it.
No masks.
Yep.
COVID. And I'm guilty of it, too. I don't wear a mask.
You're Florida.
But it was fun. Had a good time.
I'm glad. We'll do an episode at some point about the magic of Disney World.
That's an MF Uncensored.
That would be a fun MF Uncensored.
Because just go off.
Oh, my God.
Go off.
And then get sued and canceled by Disney.
Nah.
That's the only episode of any of our shows that got flagged when we did the All Along opening scene.
Because really, like...
that Disney flagged it almost immediately.
That's funny.
Oh, my God. That's bad. Funny. But yeah, we are back and we are rounding out Halloween. And this is a film that we've been talking about doing for quite some time. Producer Melanie and I actually just watched it the other night, and that's why it was fresh in my mind. And that is the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So not necessarily a Halloween movie, but...
See, I was actually thinking of this after you texted me, and you was like, hey, you want to do Rocky Horror? And I was like, you know what? That really, honestly, has turned into a Halloween movie for me over the last, like, decade. Like, I'll only watch it at Halloween. I'll only listen to the soundtrack at Halloween. I have the soundtrack on my phone, but I'll only listen to it, like, in the month of October.
Yeah, yeah.
But... it's the whole what makes a Christmas movie? What makes a Halloween movie? Does Halloween have to be in the plot of the movie? No, it's just one of those movies that kind of fits the atmosphere of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those movies for me, and it sounds like for you as well.
Yeah, so I think Time Warp has become
Time Warp took off the minute the movie like came out.
But it's on a lot of Halloween playlists. Like you'll find
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
Halloween
actually.
Parties, you know, they'll play it on the radio every once in a while during this time of the year.
That needs to make its way back to wedding.
The Time Warp,
the electric, all those things.
No, not the electric slide.
I love the electric slide.
Oh my God,
it's so corny, but it's good.
Oh my God.
I'd rather that than Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah, well, Cotton Eye Joe just gets repetitive. But so does the electric slide. Yeah,
it's the same thing. I'm not saying one is better than the other. But
Cha-cha just... slide all day.
Oh, God.
One stop.
All right, let's do this.
Anyway, so before we get started, this is a rated R movie. This is a very rated R movie. It is a product of its time. So there are certain phrases that they use in it. There's certain words that they use that we know are not... the current lexicon, right? They do use transsexual, transvestite, stuff like that. So we'll do our best to be sensitive
to
the
movie. The show and the movie was very, I guess you could say, taboo back when it came out.
Oh, it still is. To a point.
I think it's, when you watch it now, it's still got a bit of a, wow, I can't believe they did that, but not to the extent that I can imagine it was when it first came out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when was the first time you saw this movie?
With you.
Really? I'm the one that showed you this movie?
Yeah, you're the one who showed me this movie.
God. I first saw this movie on a clip show of, like, old horror movies back, you know, when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized the actors, and I was like, oh, I want to see this movie. My parents were like, no. It's a couple years, and then you'll be able to watch it. And I saw it on Comedy Central. Back when Comedy Central only showed, like, 70s and 80s movies. So that was the first time I saw it. And holy God, that movie just blew my mind.
Oh,
just
yeah?
Just what I saw. I was like, I've never seen a movie like this before.
It's
like, and the music is just so amazing.
The music is amazing. I feel like it's also one of those ones that really, there's only like four or five songs that people always remember. And then so a lot of them get lost in the shuffle,
well,
unfortunately.
I mean, Time Warp, obviously. And the Time Warp, though, in itself is not like God's gift to songwriting, but it's just
so catchy. So
catchy. And the scene where they're dancing to it in the movie is iconic. Obviously, I'm a Sweet Transvestite, I think, is probably the most memorable song.
Mm.
But to me, I think the best song of the whole thing is the opening song, Science Fiction Double Feature.
Really? That's your thing?
I think that's for me, as an old horror sci-fi fan, just the words, what he uses, the man who wrote the musical, like just the way he wrote that song, I just think it sets the whole movie up. And you're like, I kind of get where this movie's going to be, you know, in terms of what it's spoofing.
Ready. Yeah, I'm more of a Hot Patootie kind of guy.
Hot Patootie's great too.
I do love me some Hot Patootie.
I mean, I also like Over at the Frankenstein Place, the song they sing as they're walking to the castle. It's just got that, like, I don't know, like, just weird vibe to it, but I like it.
All right, so if you were to explain the plot of this movie very briefly, like, somebody's like, well, what's the movie about? What would
young conservative couple gets lost and winds up at some eccentric scientist's house and just gets in, how do you even say it, like, gets involved in all his weird
shenanigans
and changes their lives forever.
That's pretty good. I would love to see what happens to Brad and Janet after this.
There actually is a sequel to Rocky Horror.
I've heard.
But it has nothing to do with Brad and Janet. I think it has to do with the couple at the beginning of the movie that gets married.
So,
which is, I have no desire to see that.
Which is hilarious because I remember thinking, because they're at Betty Monroe's wedding.
That's it, yeah.
And this all just was very, like, very fresh in my mind. And nothing makes me laugh harder than, so I'm married, for those of you guys who don't know. Yeah, shut up, Sean. And one of our biggest fears was at our wedding, somebody did something to upstage us. Like, my sister-in-law was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And the running joke was, you better not have that baby. You better not have that baby at our wedding. Or also, like, you know, getting engaged at a wedding.
It would have been like the government, like, whisking her away. Like, she, like, you know.
Nobody would have known.
Nobody would have known. Like,
would have changed the birth certificate. But there is nothing more cringy to me than, not only does Brad propose at this person's wedding, Janet busts into that church and says, my ring is nicer than the one who's just got married.
Oh, yeah. But they were all gone by the time she did that. So it really doesn't, you know.
Classless.
I think. And I always love that the three churchgoers are...
Are the, you know, Tim Frank Curry.
And Tim Curry and then the Magenta and
Riff Raff. You know, it's funny because I find Brad, and we're going to talk about the cast in a second, to be one of the most unlikable protagonists ever.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think Janet's just as unlikable, too.
I agree.
I think they're both the weakest characters of the show.
I think Rocky's the real hero of this show.
Well, Rocky is, you know, just, you know, I wish I could have the muscles like that.
Oh, my God, he is shredded.
Yeah, man.
All right, so...
Goes to bed with Tim Curry.
That's all it takes.
Seriously.
I mean, that's all you need to do. So, before we jump too far into it, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to break down all of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. But first, a quick break. Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on set as a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service. You're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction. All right, we are back, and we're going to break down Rocky Horror. We're not going to go every plot point, because just trying to explain this movie is just... I think I asked you what this movie was about before we watched it, and you were like, you just need to watch it.
You can't. If you're showing this movie to someone for the first time, I really don't think you can explain it to them. You just be like,
aliens.
Watch it. And I will, whatever you say about it afterwards, I will accept what you think. And it could have gone either way. I honestly had no idea if you were going to like the movie or not. I also think we were both a little drunk when we watched it.
Probably.
So
how many movies have we watched a little drunk?
That's a very good question.
That's a very good question. This is such a weird movie because it's one of those other movies that was ignored at the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. It didn't have like the strongest opening, and then it exploded.
Became a midnight, like, movie theaters in the city would play this at midnight every night, mm-hmm. for years. Now, I'm sure everybody knows it is based off of a stage show. It was originally conceived as a off-Broadway show.
Very off-Broadway.
And it made its way, London, the West End, like off, whatever they call off-Broadway in London. And then it made its way over to America. I don't know if I would call it a huge hit in terms of a show, but it was solid enough that they decided they were going to make a movie out of it. Mm-hmm. Why not? You made movies out of musicals all the time back then. I mean, this is 1975. So, 10 years earlier, you had, Sound of Music and My Fair Lady and all that stuff. So the whole making movies out of musical things has never ended. So
no, it still goes on.
But I think this one gets forgotten that it actually is based off of a Broadway musical. But yeah, it's this movie. We did Plan 9 from Outer Space. And Plan 9 from Outer Space is often considered the worst movie ever made, which I argue because I can watch it. So I obviously don't think it's the worst movie ever made.
You still need to watch The Room.
I agree. I still need to watch it.
God, it's bad.
Don't want to.
It's so bad.
But this movie is also considered one of the worst movies ever made. Mm-hmm. But again, for me, it's watchable. And I like it. So I don't consider it a bad movie. Mm-hmm. I consider it not the greatest movie in the world, but that you could say that for a lot of movies. So there you go.
I feel like this movie, just the plot alone, would make a lot more sense if it like took place over a whole weekend.
Oh yeah, it takes place in one.
It takes place in like 7 hours.
Pretty much one night.
It's a convoluted.
It's a convoluted story. It really is, but it didn't matter.
All right, so let's go through the cast really quick, and then we'll kind of just
a cast, man.
Great cast. Tim Curry is Dr. Frank Inferter,
reprising his role from Broadway and from London, West End.
I love Tim Curry. I know we just talked about him in It, but
he's a treasure.
He really is.
He's an absolute treasure.
So they did like a reunion type thing on Zoom during the pandemic, and they had him in there, and he tried. He tried so hard.
Same thing there was a documentary they just released on the making of It, and he's obviously interviewed, and he actually was pretty good. I mean, for what he's able to, in terms of talking. I mean, it's a shame. It really is. I mean,
he's a stroke, right?
I believe so. He's still with us. He still goes to conventions. He'll still be able to be, he's still able to talk and all that, but
he dominates two of my holidays now.
Halloween,
and I'll watch Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Is there ever a movie where he's a good guy? Not a whole lot. Scary Movie 2, he wasn't. He wasn't a bad guy, but he also wasn't like a good guy.
No, I'm trying to think.
He was so sleazy in that movie. I loved it.
So here's my argument. Technically, in one ending, he's a good guy. In two of the endings of Clue,
fair.
A good guy. In one ending, he's a bad guy. So you could say he's 50-50.
I actually argue that he's not necessarily a villain in Home Alone 2.
No, he's not. He's actually a respectable adult that is like, why the hell is this kid in this hugely expensive hotel?
By himself.
By himself.
And then the credit card's stolen.
Now, I'm sorry. You don't go into someone's room. I don't care if it's a kid or not. In the middle of the night and spy on them. That's a little too much. Or you don't threaten the kid like he did with the credit card. But the whole notion is, like, he didn't do anything wrong at first. Mm-hmm. He went over the line.
A little bit.
But...
but, so let's talk about Dr. Frankenfurter.
Dr. Frankenfurter.
So when we meet him, he is... It's the middle of a big party because he has discovered how to create life.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.
Yes, sir.
All right. So his goal is to create Rocky, his perfect lover?
Man, specimen.
Perfect human existence.
So apparently he's done this before, I guess. What's the girl's name?
Which one?
The one that can tap.
Oh, Magenta.
Magenta was his first lover. And then Eddie... played by Meatloaf, was his second, and then he threw him away for Rocky.
Which is funny, because I never caught the line until we just rewatched it, that he used half of Eddie's brain on Rocky.
Yeah, no, I caught it. That was a while ago.
I was like, huh.
A couple ways in where I caught that as well.
Unfortunately, this is also one of those movies that I always watch at the beginning, and then I kind of trail off towards the end.
I agree. It loses a little steam, I think, near the end.
I think once it gets to like the random dinner scene... after everybody went to bed?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Master, dinner is prepared. It's 2 a.m.
Yeah, seriously, though. Rocky, Dr. Scott.
I love that, though.
It's such a great scene. But, like, Frankenfurter's are iconic. He, you know, it's one of the most...
It arguably is one of the most iconic scenes where he obviously comes down the elevator and, you know, he's walking into the room, he's singing, and he turns to the audience and he just rips open that cape and you're just like... Oh,
that's
okay.
A lot of Tim Curry.
Good for you, sir.
We have a big screen. I do like how they never really address like what his status is. He's an alien, we find out. Like,
they're all from another planet.
He's here for a good time.
He's here for a good
time.
I
like it.
And it's there's no meaning behind anything. You're just okay. I just watch and learn and just watch and see. And it is. I think probably his most iconic performance.
Between that and Pennywise, absolutely.
Probably, yeah. I mean, because this launched his career. Mm-hmm. I mean, the show obviously made him decently big. This movie, maybe not right away, but, you know, a couple years after it was released, it was a cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is.
Oh, it still is.
I mean, we went to see it in theaters.
We're going to talk about that at the end. Okay. Yeah, that is going to be a topic of choice. We have Susan Sarandon as Janet Weiss.
Janet.
Brad's fiance. Damn it, Janet. Yeah, what do you think of Janet, besides being a total floozy?
What do I think of Susan Sarandon or Janet?
Well, I don't like Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of her either.
She's not listening, so I don't care. If you're a Susan Sarandon fan, that's cool. I like her. I like her movies, but I don't like her as a person. Anyway, I digress.
I got nothing. They're both pretty despicable people.
Janet is... Well, it's funny, because like Janet and Brad are just... They're not good people. They're like...
It's not that they're good.
So first, they both cheat on each other. Let's start there with Frankenfurter.
It's the plot of this movie just makes no sense. But again, it shows just how closeted the two of them are in terms of just they've never been. You know, it's very 50s, like that very 50s like Promise Ring.
We've
never been with another person before this. So like they've both touched forbidden fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Being in this castle and like it changes them forever.
So it's funny because you know Sean and I are in our 30s. We are no strangers to the other gender.
Oh yeah.
But so Susan Sarandon gets laid like twice in this movie.
She does
for the first time ever with Frankenfurter.
Yep.
Ain't no way she's trying again that soon after.
You never know.
No. If that's her first time, But anyway, hey, it's true. But it's an interesting thing because first Frankenfurter goes with her.
Yes.
And then Frankenfurter moves on to...
Brad
Majors. What a douchey name. I said it.
Brad Majors.
Major pain in my ass. But anyway, Brad is... He's such an interesting character. Like, at first he's very, like, timid and meek. And then, like, out of nowhere he gets, like, super aggressive and, like, assertive. Like, I just wanted to use your telephone. Like, it's just... He gets, like... And, like, even, like... I think Frankenfurter's like, oh, so much manly energy. Like, out of nowhere... And then, he gets a little something from Frankenfurter.
He does.
I forgot how graphic this movie actually is. It is all in silhouette and shadow, but We know what he's doing.
We know what he's doing. We know what's going on in this thought bubble.
We know what's going on.
The audience might not, but we do.
The best is when Janet's looking for him, she's going through the cameras, and then he's just sitting there with a cigarette.
Smoking a cigarette. He's like, yeah, I feel good.
Probably his first cigarette, too.
Probably was like, Janet never did that to me.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God. But anyway, Richard O'Brien as Riff Raff.
The creator of Rocky Horror.
Which still freaks me out that him and Jenta... Yes. Oh, so it was actually
Magenta is
Columbia was
Columbia
the one that
is the, excuse okay. Me. Thank you. I couldn't remember the name.
So Riff Raff and Magenta are siblings. They like.
Yeah, they do.
It's gross.
Are they siblings though? I think they're playing siblings.
No, they say that not the actual actors.
No, I know that
the characters are siblings.
I know that, but I feel like it was all
no,
an
they,
act.
They say it at the end too.
Oh, they do say it at the end. Okay,
yeah. But yeah, well, if it was just an act, then they wouldn't be getting together with each other when they were in the act.
That's fair. Well, you know, no one was around, so, you know.
I've gone cross-eyed. But yeah, so Riff Raff and Magenta are also the real, they sing Time Warp.
Yes.
Like, that is their song. That's a lot their of people, song. If you don't know Rocky Horror, like, if you've never seen it, you might assume that it's just Tim Curry's doing it, but.
So, fun fact, Magenta, the actress, mm-hmm. is her lips at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
But it's Richard O'Brien, Riff Raff, singing.
Which is crazy.
Now, they were both in the original Broadway production. Mm. Magenta, I think the same actress played Magenta, but
Patricia
at
Quinn.
The beginning of the movie, beginning of the show, she just comes out as kind of like a concession girl,
mm-hmm.
like a 50s, you know, drive-in concession girl, and she sings science fiction double feature straight to the audience.
Interesting.
But I think the lips are also now an iconic thing
oh,
that came
absolutely.
From this movie. That yeah. whole opening scene with the lips singing.
I mean, posters and everything. Yeah. When Glee did it, it was Naya Rivera who did it, I think.
Oh, that one? Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, too. And then we have, going down the list, we said Patricia Quinn as Magenta, Neil Campbell as... Nell Campbell, yes, as Columbia, who I love her look in this movie.
Yes.
Like, the very sparkly, big... And she's the only one that kind of goes against him.
Yeah, she's the only one that kind of, like, stands up to him.
And she gets Medusa'd.
Well, Well, they all stand up to him, basically, but yeah.
Except for Dr. Scott.
Yeah.
Was that in bad taste? Sorry.
Well, he can move his legs at the end there.
Yes, he can.
Which.
Okay, then.
But, God, just gotta put on those fishnets, man, and those high heels, and then you're magically able to walk.
Who wears short shorts? Oh, I wear short shorts. But anyway, so yeah, she's the only one that kind of goes, like, of his team that goes against him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she. And you actually, fun fact for any of you other perverts out there, during the final dance number, while they're all on stage getting unfrozen, she starts dancing and you can see both of her nipples the entire time. Like
I remember that.
Because the dress that they're all wearing does not cover her chest adequately.
They're all wearing the same dress.
Yeah, they're all wearing it. Or the same halter top.
I love it.
But
I would love to go up to Barry Bostwick and just be like, so what was it like just to be in that fishnet stockings and dress and high heels? And swimming in that pool. I mean, just filming that scene alone is just like, to me, just like must have been just weird.
How are they singing?
And they were dating at the time.
Who was?
Barry Bostwick and Susan Sarandon.
Sarandon.
Really? I don't remember which
I
how you pronounce
not.
It.
Sarandon.
Because I think Barry Bostwick got hired first and he pushed to get Susan Sarandon into the
Sarandon.
Movie. Sarandon. Whatever.
What are you doing with your life?
I don't know.
What if she actually is listening? Jonathan Adams as Dr. Scott? Dr. Scott!
Dr. Scott!
Oh, I know him. He is a great friend of ours. Oh my God, this movie's all... It's all one night.
I know.
It's wild. It's almost as wild as the fact that the stage show of Rent takes place in one night.
That's right.
Yeah. It made much more sense in the movie, where they spanned it out over a year.
But I think it works in the show because you're
works in,
the
show.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, but,
you
know, but anyway.
Know. I'm sorry, Paul. I agree with everything you say.
That's fine. But Dr. Scott's not really in the... He's more of an exposition at the end. Like, just, oh, let me tell you what they're doing. There's scientists creating this evil ray and blah, 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 and aliens. Like, he's just there to tell everybody what's actually happening, and right. then he's kind of out of... He has dinner with them. This movie is so nonsensical. I love it, though. It's so good. We have Peter Hinwood as Rocky, or The Creation, with Trevor White as the singing voice. And he has not done much since.
No, I don't think he's done anything, honestly.
If you Google him, it's just pictures of him as Rocky. I think it's IMDb also. Meatloaf as Eddie. And that's also why Dr. Scott is actually there, because Eddie's his nephew mm-hmm. and has gone missing. And this was the last place he was seen. And then the last one is Charles Gray is the criminologist, who is the narrator of this
Oh, I love the criminologist.
Yeah, he doesn't actually.
I
have
love
a name.
The time warp scene where it's going back and forth between them dancing and him going, it's just a jump to the left.
I like he pulls down the diagram.
Pulls down the diagram, and then near the end, he starts dancing with them.
Of course,
it's like,
time warp. What are you looking up right now? It looks like you're looking at something.
I'm not looking up.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Sorry.
Yeah, and you just got really quiet and you're on your phone. No, it's fine. It's rude, but you know. Now
you're talking and I wasn't going to, you know, interrupt you.
You always interrupt me.
I know.
We are known for that on this show where we constantly talk over each other.
What are you talking about?
It's so, just, he tried. He tried so hard. All right. So.
I mean, if you want Brendan back, you know, you can call Brendan.
Zoom was easier. I'm just going to throw that out there. But anyway, so. Rocky Horror comes out, and it doesn't really blow anybody away at the time, but as of now, standing it on a $1.4 million budget in 1974? Mm-hmm. 75, excuse me. It has a box office of $226 million.
Which, you know, you can't even really do for inflation. I mean, you really can't do for inflation because it's been shown all the time throughout the years, but
it's great. Yeah, I'm happy for it. Like it's a movie that
it's one of those movies I feel you need to watch at some point in your life.
So, all right, ready? This might be heresy, but I was watching Glee at the time, and I watched the Glee episode I think before, or maybe did we see Rocky Horror beforehand?
I think it was before.
Glee was before or the movie?
No, I think we saw the movie.
Yeah, but I remember the Glee version came out, and that was like a big thing.
Oh yeah,
and it was all right.
It's okay.
Yeah, the music was of course really good.
Well, the whole I think that's the only episode of Glee I ever watched.
That
was
is
the
true.
Rocky Horror.
I remember you and I talked about it, and Sean and I did have a fun and unique experience where I see Sean mad every once in a while, but this was like Sean like so mad.
I wasn't mad. I just didn't expect it. I should have.
So what we are talking about is. Rocky Horror became one of the biggest midnight movies of all time. It had the midnight movie aspect of it has a following all its own. Now, Sean and I were very big into midnight movies. Back, you know, in the early 2000s, they started getting big again, but they would only be for movies coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so you could go see the movie at midnight. We saw, like, Superman Returns at midnight. I remember
that.
Oh, we saw
a bunch of movies at midnight.
We saw a lot of
Dark Knight.
Well, so what they ended up starting to do was... They would do marathons. Like we saw, it was like Batman Begins,
Dark Knight Rises
at midnight or something like that. Yeah. But nowadays, you can actually go see the movie before on that Thursday at like 7 o'clock. I don't understand how that's a midnight showing.
It's not.
But they use the hype of that because in all honesty, they can release the movie whenever they
want. They can release the movie whenever they want. But the reason they started doing that was because the demand for these early showings was just getting so crazy.
Oh, absolutely. So. Sean and I, or I think Sean and I and some, I think somebody else came with us. I don't remember. Somebody was definitely there.
A couple
with
people
us.
There. It was a couple Taekwondo people, I think, because you were still working
at the school. So, Carmel Movie Theater in town by us had a midnight showing, and we decided we were going to go. We were not prepared for what we experienced, as Sean alluded to. So, the midnight showing, first and foremost, the movie theater we went to is not the most popular movie theater, but this place was packed. Like
it's the most crowd I've ever been in that theater ever.
And people dressed up.
Which was cool.
Like,
great.
Hey, like that's cool. You know, you saw like a couple of magentas and you know, some mostly women dressed up. A couple of guys, but a lot of the women.
There was a good amount of guys dressed up too.
You're a good amount of guys
dressed
up.
I know, thank you.
But, so the movie starts and then all of a sudden everybody's participating in all these different things. Do you remember any of the things that people had to do?
Every time you hear their names, so every time Janet's name was mentioned, they would shout slut. And every time Brad's name was mentioned, I think it was like he shouted a-hole.
Something like that, yeah.
There was toast was thrown around the theater.
You would throw rice in the wedding scene.
Bologna. Yeah. Like pieces. And that threw me. I was like, why are you... There was a bunch of things. Now, okay. In my defense, which I really don't have any, because I should have known we were going to a midnight showing of one of the most popular midnight movies of all time. I knew all about the cult following of this movie in terms of watching it in a theater. Maybe it's just me. I just was like, I just want to watch the movie. I didn't want to do all that.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of people even talking. Oh, all no. right, so ready? I have all these things. Ready?
Here we go.
Let's see. Rice at the beginning of the movie. You throw the rice. We mentioned that. Newspapers. When Brad and Janet are caught in the storm, Janet covers her head with a newspaper. The plane dealer. At this point, you're supposed to cover your head also. Water pistols. These are used by members of the audience to simulate the rainstorm. I remember that. Candles or flashlight during the There's a Light. Rubber gloves during and after the creation speech. Noisemakers. Oh, I remember that. The spinning noisemakers. Oh, my God. Confetti at the end of the Charles Atlas song. Toilet paper. I remember this. When Dr. Scott enters the lab and Brad cries out, "Great Scott."
Great Scott.
Toast is when Frank proposes a toast at dinner. Yeah, and they throw it in the air. Preferably unbuttered. Things could get sticky. A party hat at the dinner table. When Frank puts on a party hat, you should do the same. A bell during the song Planet Schmanet Janet. Ring the bell when Frank sings, "Did you hear a bell ring?" Cards during the song "I'm Going Home." Frank sings, "Cards for sorrow, cards for pain." At this point, you should shower the theater with cards. Hot dogs and prunes. It happened on occasion, but the fans know the thrill.
I felt bad for the people who had to clean that theater that day.
There are a lot of theaters that will ban some of the food and the things that you throw.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think, because I remember there was, what was it? You know, we said Janet and Brad, and there was other things that people would say, like,
yeah.
But yeah, it was
An experience. I'm glad I did it. I wouldn't need to do it again, because again, I'll just watch it at home and enjoy it, you know, and not have to hear everybody else, saying the lines or throwing stuff and all that.
But anyway, I was trying to find some of the other things, but I can't go. I can't read all this while I'm doing this. But anyway, do you want to do a Star City rating for Rocky Horror?
Ooh. I am going to go a 3.5.
3.5. That is a solid.
I think it's a great. I think it's an underrated movie. I really do.
I think I'm going to go with 3.5 also. I think it's a good time. It's something that everybody should see at least one point in their lives.
Yeah.
I definitely think that it is.
I still think the music is excellent.
I feel like you're either going to see it one time and then that's it. You never need to see it again. Or you turn into a cult following. Or not even like a cult following, but just enough that you're like, oh, this is so good. But you want to do some Fan Feedback Friday?
Let's do it.
I want to do some Fan Feedback Friday. So this week it was, or last week technically, because we did take a week off. Nobody come at us with that. What was a movie that scared you as a kid but you enjoy now as an adult? Jaws and The Sixth Sense. I had to walk out of the theater of The Sixth Sense. It scared the crap out of me.
Jurassic Park. My parents and my mom had to take me out of the theater
for
Jurassic Park. Now I love it.
Oh, it's such a good movie. We have The Exorcist, Jurassic Park, Rob's Comic Book Class, Friday the 13th, Jeepers Creepers, Annabelle, Halloween, Texas Chainsaw, It, the more recent one, Insidious. Insidious is terrifying.
Oh, Insidious is.
And Scream. Very nice. Mm-hmm. We also have Jeepers Creepers, all the Child Play movies. Those were scary, too. There was like a big killer doll. And
I've only ever seen the first one. Never.
And then the Leprechaun 1, 2, and 3. God. Jackie said Hocus Pocus, and she doesn't want to talk about it.
And Hocus Pocus? I'm sorry. I still think that scene at the beginning when they sucked the age out of that little girl was terrifying to me as a kid.
I can see that.
And it only took me till not too long ago to realize that girl was still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I noticed her moving, and I was like, I thought she was dead.
I think she was dead, but just the actress was
moving. Oh, you think? I thought maybe she was just old, and,
they don't show, but...
But...
Yeah, well, thank you guys for jumping in. I hope this was a good time, and we can do the time warp again sometime.
I'm hoping.
But don't forget, guys, if you're looking to do a little bit more interaction with us or see more of our content, if you go to Facebook, we're on it there, Cinematic Adventures and the Misfit Faction Media Network. We're also on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, basically anything that is social and media, you'll find some of our stuff. And, of course, our website, The Misfit Faction.
Social and media. I like it.
TheMisfitFaction.com.
You're welcome.
I didn't say thank you. But anyway, that is going to wrap us up for tonight.
Come on, you missed this.
As always, I'm Paul.
And he hates me.
And he's Sean.
Thank you.
And I hate him.
It's true.
We'll see you guys next time.
Adios.